This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
It is another day of the Lombardi Line here from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as always, presented by BetMGM. I'm Ben Wilson, filling in for Patrick Maher, back from his vacation on Monday here at the South Point Sportsbook Studio in Las Vegas. And look who we've got. Wes Reynolds.
Good morning.
What's up, Wes?
How are you?
I am good. You were on the nightcap last night till 10 p.m. Pacific. I was on primetime action till 7. Mm-hmm. So it's not my schedule way easier than yours, Wes.
You've been doing everything. I wouldn't think so. I don't think you've had a day off since like February.
No, but yeah, you're right. But I mean, it's all about the love of the love of our craft here. We've got a lot to talk about today. We will get Wes's thoughts. We've got a couple of baseball games here that start in about a half hour's time. I want to get into those previews. Two day games today on the card. We'll get the rest of the MLB preview as well today. Vinny Maliulo, the recently minted Hall of Famer, is going to join us in studio in a half hour's time as well, which we're really looking forward to. Will be a lot of fun today. We'll get an update there on the first round of the Golf Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. But as always, now that we are into the heart of training camp, Wes, a lot of NFL news and notes that will continue to develop here over the coming days. And really every day there's going to be something new. I mean, the thing that just popped here this morning, Ryan Jensen, center for the Buccaneers, carted off with a knee injury there in their training camp this morning. Severity unknown, according to the reporters there in Tampa Bay. So it's like it's always something, mm-hmm. And that is definitely one of those that you immediately catches your attention when you see that.
That's a big loss. I know when we see line movement on an individual game-by-game basis, we always look, of course, at the quarterback and the skill position, but the anchor of your offensive line, an all-pro and really the leader of that group up front, that is a big loss. So we'll see what the long-term prognosis is for Ryan Jensen.
Again, severity unknown, but this is what the second day of camp for a lot of these teams, and already you're getting injuries like that. We talked yesterday as well about the news coming out of Green Bay, where David Bakhtiari, similar deal, although he was not actually on the field being injured. He's already on the PUP list. We come to find out this is a guy who had to have another knee surgery in the offseason, and you just wonder, Wes, they already lost Billy Turner to Denver. Elkton Jenkins is already on the PUP list. Another similar deal where, right, will that really impact a game-by-game mm-hmm. line necessarily for Green Bay? No, it's not going to flip a line 2 or 3 points or even a half point for that matter, but long-term, you'd have to think that's a pretty significant development as well,
well
in Green Bay.
Yeah, with Green Bay, obviously with this receiving core, and we'll get to that momentarily, very either old or young and unproven on that receiving core. Yeah. So the last thing you want is offensive line issues with this bunch.
Speaking of Green Bay, this was a funny little back and forth we saw in camp. I want to get Wes's take on this. Started on Sunday when Devontae Adams, who left Green Bay, he's now in Las Vegas, Raiders wide receiver, had this to say about his quarterback, Derek Carr, followed by Aaron Rodgers, who then responded when talking about his new wide receiver, number one, Alan Lazard, yesterday in camp.
I mean, anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, both are great players and great to be around. So I'm just enjoying that process and getting better myself. You know,
I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. you know, from Devontae to Allen, it's going to be, a transition. But he's capable of a lot.
Fresh off the Con Air look, mm-hmm. Nick Cage, day one at Camp West to, yes, that statement. And classic way to start camp, right? You just, you get the reporters laughing, everybody smiling. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, if you look at, I mean, Pro Football Focus, when they did their positional grades for every team, Green Bay 31st in their wide receiver room. And you're really expecting a lot out of Alan Lazard. Also should point out the rookie Christian Watson. He is not going to be active to start camp. He's also banged up as well. So, I mean, I get that. You can say whatever. You can laugh. You can say it's in jest. But at the same time here, you have to think Aaron Rodgers is really going to be asking a lot of Alan Lazard specifically this year, and they're going to be banking on him to make a big, big leap this year.
And I saw the PFF grade that you mentioned, 31. And look, maybe that's a little low when you're looking at it, but they're still at the bare minimum. The Packers, I think, are bottom third, maybe the bottom quarter of the league in terms of the receiver core, because when you look at it, Watson, obviously, I think has long-term good potential as the number one receiver down the line, but he's still raw out of North Dakota State. I think he's going to be very good, but behind, obviously, the learning curve here being out with injury. And then when you look at a lot of these veteran receivers, there's only been one of these receivers that have been over 750 yards in a season the last 5 years. That was Randall Cobb, 2019 in Dallas at 828 yards. So you're starting with Cobb and Watkins, who are clearly, I think, on the back nine of their career. Alan Lazard is going, it's going to be a lot to ask for him. And then we commingle that with the offensive line injuries with Bakhtiari on the PUP list, Jenkins on the PUP list. So both of your starting tackles currently on the PUP list. Still, you know, when you look at it, it's going to be a lot of young replacements for those guys, depending on how long those two tackles are out. So yeah. Green Bay, I think, absolutely starting behind the eight ball. And that's why so many of us, including myself, I think, not necessarily that Green Bay is going to drop. It's also being high on the Minnesota Vikings because we like the team and we like the coaching change. But, yeah, Green Bay is not a walkover to win this division at all, and it seems like being priced in the market as such.
They certainly are. And Robert Tonyan, who had the ACL injury midseason last year.
Yeah, we forgot about him. He's on the PUP list.
He is still on the PUP list. He's targeting a week one return. They interviewed him yesterday, said he feels good, but it was funny. There's so many guys injured. They talked to Matt LaFleur, the head coach, about it, and he said, yeah, look, I don't even know at this point with any of the timelines because for many of them, and David Bakhtiari is a great example of this, Wes.
And
you can't stick to something rigid with these major injuries. A lot of these guys are coming off. It's also bad
with your injury situation when your kicker's on the PUP list.
Yeah, Mason Crosby's on the PUP list, Gabe Berkich, by the way, in camp
to challenge Mason Crosby, who, you know, not the best year last year, I don't think, for Mason Crosby. So they do have a genuine kicking competition up there in Green
Bay. 16th year as well for Mason Crosby. He's getting long in the tooth.
It reminds me of being a Colts guy, Ben, as you know, being from Indianapolis, seeing Vinny in his last couple of years. And I'm not talking Vinny Maiulo, who will join us here in about a half hour. I'm talking Adam Vinatieri.
Yep.
And you could just see when a guy's been so great for so long, Father Time catches up with you, and it caught up with Adam Vinatieri. Maybe the same for Mason Crosby.
Vinatieri's beard was white at the end. Mm-hmm. Crosby has basically the gray, that, white hair.
You know how that you're old is when his son, AJ Vinatieri, is a senior kicker and getting college offers. It's like, yeah. Oh my God.
We don't need to talk about that. Yes. We can just kind of pretend to ignore that. And Sammy Watkins also injured right now, at least for Green Bay. So that it's kind of in a nutshell here, team that has a lot of issues to deal with at the start of camp. Now, again, we're still nearly 50 days out from the actual regular season beginning, actually a little over 40 days at this point from September 11th, opener there for the Green Bay Packers. That is one issue for them though. And on the flip side here, we get the comments from Davante Adams and Derek Carr. This AFC West, and we had Jonathan Von Tobel in our last show, a numbers game, talking about his expectations for Justin Herbert in LA, and have we maybe pumped him up too much? How do you feel about how we have pumped up Derek Carr, given the acquisitions there in the receiving core this year? Has it been fair what we're saying about Carr, given some of the numbers that he's put up? And you know, statistically, very, very solid a season ago.
I think relatively speaking, you talk about the AFC West, it is going to be the wild, wild west. All four of these offenses have big-time expectations. You're going to see the totals on a week-to-week basis be very high. We're already seeing week one. I think they're like 52, 52 and a half, 53. Eventually, as we get into the season, we might see 54 and a half, 55, 56 in these AFC West games between these offenses. But look, I think Derek Carr getting Josh McDaniels in, who gets his second chance as an NFL head coach, went back to the Jedi Master back in New England with Bill Belichick. And I think Josh McDaniels' second time around will be better prepared to be a head coach. And I think having Dave Ziegler with him, who of course was with him in the front office in New England, a lot more of a collaborative relationship than certainly John Gruden and Mike Mayock, where John Gruden basically had the final say and had veto power and decision-making over everything. So you look at Carr, they add his old Fresno State Bulldog mate, Davante Adams. Hunter Renfrow is a beast in the slot, should have a big year. Darren Waller, one of the better tight ends in the league. So you have the targets, I think, with that big three. And then if they can get something consistent out of that running game, if Josh Jacobs mainly can stay healthy, I think there's a lot of expectations for this offense. The one thing you look on the right side is kind of the glaring spot. And really the story, I think, going forward for the Raiders this season is Alex Leatherwood, the first-round pick out of Alabama who had a rough year. And I was talking a couple weeks ago on one of our programs on VSiN with Adam Hill, who covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal right here in town. And he said, every single time the whistle blew, it was like in the press box, what did Alex do now?
Yeah, it's a,
who was holding? No, it was Alex, or who had the false start. So they had him at tackle, and then they moved him to guard, and he wasn't any better at guard. The guy's got talent, but he's a young rookie lineman, and there's a lot of expectations, and he makes mistakes. So he's got to shore up that right side. They're fine on the left side with Colton Miller. He is the absolute anchor of that offensive line. So that's what's going to determine the Raiders' offense. I think you got to like their skill position and the depth. And I think Derek is primed to have a big year. I know he's gotten the buzz on the yards props and the touchdown props, whatnot, maybe a dark horse for MVP a little bit down the board. So I think the Raiders are going to be fine offensively, and I think they're going to be able to rush the passer. But it's going to be the offensive line, especially on that right side and that secondary, that's going to determine how far they go.
And look, when you take a look at what, again, we talk about these PFF preseason numbers, and even if you look at last year, Derek Carr, number one quarterback with the PFF passing grade on throws inside the numbers, but 22nd outside the numbers. You just naturally think, Wes, you add a guy like a Davante Adams to the outside, okay, naturally should get a lot better on throws outside of the numbers, and you already have a really, really efficient passer when you're looking, you know, over the middle and down the seams there. So makes a lot of sense what we're seeing. I don't know, Hall of Famer, maybe a little premature on that talk. Same with Alan Lazard as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all in good. Those guys, Adams and Rodgers, are very close.
You got to take up for your guys.
Of course,
you're not going to say, yeah, I think we're going to suck this year. I think the receiving core is really going to be down. I'm very disappointed that we didn't do more. So Aaron at least saying the right things this summer.
Absolutely.
Maybe not so much last summer.
Keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, they were playing golf together here at Bears Best a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Davante Adams now lives in the Las Vegas area. We still have some other training camp news and notes to get to. Some small news, but a couple of interesting signings that we'll get Wes's take on in a little bit. We'll also update the Rocket Mortgage Classic Round 1 leaderboard on the other side and get Wes's thoughts on the 2-day baseball game still to come. That is when we return right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Just getting started Thursday on the Lombardi Line here from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, back with Wes Reynolds. He's at Wes Reynolds 1 on the Twitter machine. I'm Ben Wilson. We've got Matt Santos, our producer, behind the glass. Wes, so we have some golf, some baseball to talk about this hour. And then Vinny Maliulo, the newly minted Sports Betting Hall of Famer, is going to be joining us here for the last half hour of this first hour on the show. So we're underway at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Did you see the Mark Hubbard hole-in-one this morning? He looked like he shanked it. Like he threw his club.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball went in the hole. It was a hole in one. What the heck?
That's very Matsuyama of him, because Hideki Matsuyama always has the reputation, takes his, you know, a hand off the club in the backswing, and it's really disappointing. It's like he knocks it within 15 feet, and he's disappointed, and he's looking at 15 feet for birdie. So Mark Hubbard at Homeless Hubs on the Twitter has had a couple good finishes very much lately. So, you know, we're getting kind of down to that late part of the season where we're after the majors, and you got a couple events before you get to the FedEx Cup playoffs here in early part of August. So we are at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, a little bit better field this week than we saw last week at the 3M.
But so far, though, we just talked about the field from last week. It wasn't necessarily as strong. Tony Finau got the job done. Just the third pre-tournament favorite all season, West, to actually win is the short shot.
Mm-hmm.
So Finau with a huge Sunday combined with a pretty big collapse by Scott Piercy gets that championship. And he is off and rolling in this one. 8 under par today. He is your first round leader so far. Still a bunch of guys on the course right now. Taylor Pendrith, the Canadian, is 7 under through 15. But Finau, he's now the live betting favorite at BetMGM, 4-1. And I look at some of the stats today. He only gained 0.42 strokes putting today,
mm-hmm.
Wes. He was brilliant over nearly five and a half strokes gained tee to green today. And Finau certainly in scalding form at the moment.
Yeah, number one in approach here, 3.8 shots on his first round. And our colleague and friend Matt Eumanns was texting me on Sunday, prolific winner Tony Finau now, because this is a guy that always find a way never to get it done. And Scott Piercy opened the door for him last Sunday at the 3M, and Tony Finau walked right through it, ended up winning by three shots. You mentioned the guys just behind him. Taylor Pendriff is actually on my card this week. He is 7 under par now through 15 holes, so still has a chance at first round leader. If you bet that, I had him at about 66-1 this week. And then I'm looking and seeing another guy have Cam Champ.
There you go.
At 6 under par. He has got three holes, I believe actually now two holes left on his round, and he is at 6 under. Cam Champ gaining 2.7 strokes with the putter. How about that? You don't see that very often from this guy.
No figure,
but I thought,
yeah,
wide open course, birdie fest, that this is something where Cam Champ, one of the bigger hitters off the tee on the PGA Tour, that he could flourish. And so far, so good, at least from some in the early flight. And then, of course, the afternoon guys have not teed off as of yet. So Tony Finau leading at 8 under par, Taylor Pendriff right behind at 7 under, 2.75 strokes gained putting, about 3 strokes gained on approach so far. Nice round for Webb Simpson.
Yeah, 6 under.
Yeah, and Webb Simpson is a guy I kind of didn't look at this week. He's had some injuries, been a little bit in and out of form, but this is a Donald Ross design up at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Like, next week is almost like considered the Webb Simpson Invitational, considering the Wyndham yeah. Championship is the event down there in North Carolina, where he played college golf at Wake Forest. One of his daughters by the name is Wyndham. After the Wyndham Championship, that was Webb Simpson's, I think, first PGA Tour win back in 2010. So two Donald Ross designs. Here comes Webb Simpson, and there he is, 6 under par.
And along with Michael Thompson, who's also in the clubhouse at 6 under, you mentioned Champ as well as Lee Hodges. Those two guys also at 6 under, still on the golf course right now, making up your top six. Patrick Cantlay, who closed as the pre-tournament favorite, 2 under par in his round so far, and he is through 16 holes. So Cantlay right now sitting T34 again. That was the pre-tournament short shot.
And he was the favorite, of course, number 4 player in the world, the only top 5 player in the official world golf rankings in this field this week in the event in Detroit. But even though we saw it with Finau, you did mention it, we've only had 3 favorites end up closing the deal. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, the second or third or fourth choice haven't closed the deal. That has happened a couple times this year. But that's the thing, week to week, I know these favorites, they always make sense and they're usually priced correctly, but it is so hard to back a favorite
no question.
In a PGA Tour event, and they just have not gotten it done. Just Burns at the Sanderson Farms, Rahm in Mexico, and then of course Finau last week in Minneapolis.
And Will Zalatoris, the second betting favorite, yet to tee off. Again, a bunch of guys still to go
Zalatoris
in the afternoon.
Zalatoris and Young are going off this afternoon, and I took a pass on those guys this week because, look, they could win. Cam Young especially popped on a lot of the models in terms of opportunities gained, birdie or better gain, strokes gained off the tee, et cetera, et cetera. But I went ahead and took a pass because I'm going to want to use those guys maybe in a couple weeks when we get into the FedEx Cup playoffs, when they're about double the price that they are this week.
That would make a lot of sense. As far as so that's the golf update for right now, again, day one of the Rocket Mortgage Classic there in Detroit. As for the baseball, Wes, we have a couple games about to get underway in the next 15 minutes. It was a really nice, I don't know, you followed the Reds for some time. Really, what an unheralded career for Luis Castillo, who will end his Reds career. Mm-hmm. Again, that was likely his final start last night. 137 starts over 7 years. Ends up with a sub-500 record, largely because he didn't pitch for many good Reds teams. But a guy who is so rock-solid, consistent, and really put together a fantastic year so far in 2022, even though he was injury-riddled to begin the campaign. Sub-3 ERA, likely, I would say, West, probably the top asset.
Yeah.
Assuming, like, if we take out Juan Soto and any of the other, you know, Shohei Ohtani, who I know has been in some of the rumors, could potentially get moved. Probably, though, the biggest asset any singular team could pick up at the deadline there in Luis Castillo.
And we'll get to Juan Soto later in the program because there are some rumblings terms of where he is going to go. But Luis Castillo, look, the Reds are going to have no shortage of suitors. Would make sense. He did pitch a very nice game several weeks ago up in the stadium against the New York Yankees. So maybe they are looking potentially for an added reinforcement, even though I don't think starting rotation has really been their problem. So Luis Castillo is going to get plenty of demand. But a good young guy that maybe could take his place in terms of at least being the ace or at least the number two guy on the staff, Graham Ashcraft has been nice this
year. Today.
4-2 out of 11 starts. Only a 4.70 ERA. This guy's a young pitcher, but Graham Ashcraft, I think, has really been kind of the steady Eddie of the staff, if you will. Hunter Green's got the most talent, but he has had poor numbers. And a young guy, it's got to learn how to pitch in this league. But Graham Ashcraft has kind of looked like a crafty veteran at times this year. Getting bet against slightly with Castano going on the mound for the Miami Marlins, but Cincinnati, you know, 5-5 over the last 10 games, have been okay. They've taken 2 of 3, trying to take 3 of 4 from the Fish. The Fish are going to be another one of those teams that are going to be in the trade market, too. It seems like everybody's touchable except for Sandy Alcantara, essentially. Right. But I don't think Miami really wants to do a lot of damage trading that pitching staff. They want to trade some of those bats that maybe could help guys like Jesus Aguiar or somebody like that, rather than trading Lopez or Alcantara, Sixto Sanchez, who is still working his way back from injury. So Marlins plus 122 in the market. Small lean to the under here for me. And sometimes I like to play those. I think you still got to go game by game. You can't ever bet it blindly or across the board. But I like those getaway unders. You know, we saw a couple of them come in yesterday for teams that especially both got to travel. Miami, of course, they will start a series with the Mets tomorrow, and the Cincinnati Reds will, in fact, stay at home against the Baltimore Orioles. But that would be my lean here, but I did not bet this opener.
I see you can find there's 1 or 2 9.5 juiced under out there in the market. Daniel Castano called back up from AAA. He is no rookie, though, to Major League Baseball. He has pitched this year, made several spot starts there for the Marlins. As he goes, most of the books, though, have at 9 juiced over minus 120. Again, one of the two games here starting in about 10, 12 minutes. The other one is in Baltimore. The Orioles West are 28-20 at home this year. Mm-hmm. What a great story it has been. I know there have been the rumblings that you think about Jorge Lopez, their amazing closer this year, who's really come out of nowhere after a journeyman career, likely on the trading block. Same thing for Trey Mancini, who's really been the heart and soul of that organization after overcoming a cancer diagnosis, also rumored to be heading out. But there's kind of a part of me that thinks, you know what, if you're Baltimore, just say screw it. Just go for it. You're in the mix for the final wild card spot.
You're not in last place in the AL East anymore. That would be the Boston Red Sox, who, you know, they're kind of on that, you know, precipice of, okay, should we sell or should we not? Kind of similar to San Francisco Giants, where they've been below expectations and maybe they start selling. But back to Tampa and Baltimore. Tampa wins in the top of the 10th. Randy Arozarena last night with a 2-run double. They get the win, the Rays. So you're seeing kind of what I talked about a minute ago with these getaway unders, where both teams go on the road to start their series tomorrow, so they got to travel after the game. Sometimes these tend to be a little bit quicker games, so all the nines are being pretty much juiced to the under, minus 115, minus 120. Certainly makes sense. Jordan Lyles going for the Orioles, 6-8-20 starts against the opener, Ryan Yarbrough, so this is going to be a bullpen game, essentially, for Tampa Bay. Did not play it. Small lean to the under at 9, though.
Seeing them, the Orioles, about $1.30 favorite at BetMGM. 9, as you mentioned.
Orioles have gotten the money a little bit, too. Yeah. It was 115 in the overnight. Seeing some 125s, I think, right around here at the South Point where we are, the max in the market at BetMGM, minus 130. So betting against the opener, and you usually see that in Rays games.
Yeah, a couple of 9s juiced over, a couple of 9s juiced under right now. I really had high hopes for Ryan Yarbrough, too. I love that guy, his first couple of years. Over 5 ERA each of the past 2 seasons, and he's been kind of relegated West to just more of an opener now.
Yeah.
Not able to go deep. It's too bad.
Yeah, and the Rays, look, Shane McClanahan, how much can he keep that load going forward? Yeah. Still the Cy Young pretty much co-favorite in the market.
We will have the rest of the MLB card, 8 other games today that start a little bit later. We'll get West's thoughts on those later on in the show. But up next, the recently minted Hall of Famer, Vinny Magliulo, joins us on the desk for the next half hour right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. The College Football Betting Guide is out now. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of all 131 teams, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations. Plus, our best season win total bets, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff predictions. The only way to get access to this year's football betting guide at VSiN is to become a VSiN All Access subscriber. Sign up for VSiN All Access today and get everything we offer for the entire football season, including our upcoming pro football betting guide that is still to come. Subscribe now at vsin.com/subscribe. We welcome you back in. It's the Lombardi Line from the South Point Sportsbook Studio in Las Vegas, presented by BetMGM. I'm Ben Wilson. We've got Wes Reynolds on the desk, and we are so pleased to welcome in. He's back from partially a little vacation, partially a very special inducting ceremony to the 2022 Sports Betting Hall of Fame class. It's Vinny Maliulo. How are we doing, Vinny?
What do you say, fellas? Good to be with you. Good to be back.
He and Chris Vinny. Andrews went into the Hall of Fame in the same class, man. That's like Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison going in the same class.
Very kind, very honored, especially to be gone in with Chrissy, my dear friend, for over 40 years. We cut our teeth together. And it was nice. We were back at the Meadowlands. You mentioned the other folks, Paul Burns from the Canadian Gaming Association, Sandy Drozd from U.S. Bookmaking, and Sue Schneider from the sports betting community, who really has organized the events and the summits here in the United States for the past several years. So a great honor. It was. It was fun to be back. I was happy we were back at the Meadowlands initially because I wanted to get some of my money back from 1976.
I was like, how long has it been since you've been back to the Meadowlands?
And so I remember the first time I went there, I wasn't doing particularly well at the New York track. So I said, let me change my luck. Let me go across the river and try things out over there. Same result. Made my contributions. But it was great to be back there. They've done a lot of work. They weren't running that night, but they had simulcasting going on. But it was good. It was a beautiful night. Great turnout. I got to spend the evening, the event, which was part of the conference. But the event was outstanding. And again, besides my fellow inductees, there were other members there from other classes, Hall of Fame classes. I got to spend a little time with Mattress Mac, who was terrific. Spanky, Captain Jack Andrews. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was a great turnout and a great cross section of the industry as well.
And just kind of reflecting, obviously, you guys have been in the game for a long time. You've seen a lot of changes. It's a completely different industry now. If you were to pinpoint, and I know this is a tough question to answer, but if you were to pinpoint, what's the biggest change from when you and Chris started to kind of cut your teeth in this industry? If you could pinpoint one of the biggest changes in the business.
One of the biggest changes is customer better education.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that bettors are much more informed today. They make better decisions, and that's good because what it does is I know there's some folks would probably lean on the other side of this perspective, which is fine. But I think you're going to get left behind if you do. You want people to be educated because it's actually going to increase handle. And things. So, you know, VSiN, frankly, let's call it what it is, has educated a lot more people and gotten them involved. It used to be a much more intimidating endeavor for folks, and it was very difficult for a lot of folks to walk up to the counter. But now you've got a lot more people doing so because they're more informed, and I think that's something we should all embrace.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right that the public, I think, is very much more educated, so comes in with a greater knowledge base because they can get the information the same time that you can.
Yeah, or
as bookmakers,
sometimes more, sometimes quicker.
More. Yeah.
I think it's a great part. There are a lot of positives, and I think one of the things too from our side of the counter is you've got to be able to adjust and adapt. If I do things today the exact same way I did, you know, 45 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
That brings me to kind of my next question, because it's like nowadays, it's like back in the day, you didn't book with the screen necessarily.
Oh,
you
no.
didn't know what the other stores had, so you could be 2 or 3 points off from the guy across the street.
Oh yeah, and you know that's more so West 2 or 3 points off on Raider and 49er games between here and Northern California, but that's where we would always communicate with each other, and that I think throughout the industry you want to have a good network in whatever aspect you're in. You know, if you're in the slot department, if you're in table games, if you're in poker, I would advise people to have a good network of associates and colleagues. But it was more, especially in race and sports, and solicit other opinions and have good communication lines, but also have good communication lines with bettors, and because you're going to get good perspectives from them as well. So We would be on the phone a lot and calling each other. We would call Las Vegas sports consultants quite a bit because they would coordinate what was happening with lines around the state mainly. I mean, you know, what was happening in other jurisdictions, we'll say.
Right.
That, but you still tried to get a feel for that. But you relied on a network and a communication, and I've always certainly embraced that, and I would tell any operator today, even with technology, excuse me, to make sure that you've got that dialogue with your colleagues and from both sides of the counter.
But 3 years ago, Chris published his first book, Then One Day, which I remember. I the first day I moved to Vegas and joined VSiN, the first thing I did was I got a copy of Chrissy's book. I think I read that thing video in like 48 hours.
Yeah,
I couldn't put it down.
Yeah,
it was
you keep you engrossed. Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
didn't know. I mean, there were so many things I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just more of a recreational bettor in the past, and more in the broadcast business. No idea. So much of the history about A, Las Vegas and the bookmaking development, and then just B, the general industry as a whole here. And I'm sure for you, reflecting, and we were joking off air just how we're in that time. Everybody's on vacation, so for some of us, we're it's like nonstop. I'm sure from the bookmaker perspective, you go from season to season to sport to sport, and all of a sudden, 30, 40 years go by, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, where'd the time go?
Well, where'd the time go, and where did vacations go? Because we used to be able to take off pretty much all of February. Like once the Super Bowl, there would be some time off, right? And and then during the summertime, you really didn't have as much football offerings. You had your future book up, put up week one, before week one. So I think the acceleration of offerings has been good for business, but it's also good from our side of the counter, getting some intel on what bettors, particularly sophisticated bettors, professional bettors, are thinking in advance, and you're also increasing your property's exposure. It's a marketing tool as well, and you're servicing your. That's why you see week one has grown. Week one of NFL and college football has grown exponentially in terms of handle so much because now you're booking it for 3 to 4 months. You see, so as things are offered, you're doing business, and there's a lot of folks that can't be here for those first weeks, but now they've got all summer during the course of their visits to take advantage of them and make their plays.
That's funny that you say that, though, about like once the football season is done after the Super Bowl, you didn't have 300-plus college basketball programs that you had to book on the board, where all the games now you can find on TV. There was like maybe a couple games on TV. Now it's streaming and everywhere.
Yeah, just about every game you can find, Wes, and for sure. In fact, the college basketball season has expanded now. It's kind of starting earlier and things like that. But we
used to be hardly, Thanksgiving. Is
yeah, you had the main, you had the big conferences. You might have, if you had 50 games on a Saturday, that was a lot.
That's just the added board.
But now it's right. You're booking just about everything, and so I love the fact that the business has evolved and expanded the way it has because, again, it's much more enjoyable and you've got a much bigger menu.
When we return with Vinny, we want to get his thoughts, just NFL preseason futures, some college football. But I know you got a trophy, though, right? So how did the travel work getting from the East Coast? This big old... Was
it like Ken Smith when he was trying to put that claret jug in the
overhead? You got stopped at the airport, Vinny? Is that what happened?
So... You get a trophy. You get a play, which is it's nice. It's great. It's got the event on it and things like that. It's about 5 pounds. Well, I was like, how do you get? So you could take it with you. I said, okay. Yeah. So I stick it. I put it in my carry on. I really didn't think too much about it. And I get, I'm going through security and all of a sudden, sir, is this your bag? yeah. As a matter of fact, it is. So could you step over here, please? And I'm looking. I'm like, all right. I had forgotten about it. I just stuck it in the bottom of the suitcase. And he says, "What's this?" Now what's this? I mean, it's got my name
the
and
trophy.
It says Hall of Fame. I said, "Well, it's a trophy." He says, "For what?" I says, "Well, it says it right there." He says, "Hall of Fame." He says, "Sports?" I said, "Yeah, sports." He says, "What sport?" I'm like, I don't have a green jacket on. I don't have a gold jacket. Like, I said, well, technically all sports. He says, he calls a supervisor over there looking at this. I'm thinking, what the hell is this thing made out of? Finally, I just said, you guys have like a bad beat?
That's so funny.
Don't take it out on the bookmaker, please. But anyway, it was shoot the messenger.
Don't, yes, exactly.
It's amazing. So it was good, though. Had a good time. And, again, great event, and I appreciate you guys' kind words.
Great to have you back. Congratulations for that. The newly minted Hall of Famer, Vinny Magliola. We'll have some other topics with Vinny when we return here on the Lombardi Line. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code VEASAN200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Eligibility restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expires in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Back here on the Lombardi Line, another segment joined in studio by Vinny Magliola at VSiN Vinny. For those who, for whatever reason, do not follow Vinny already, the 2022 Sports Betting Hall of Fame inductee. And we have a lot of interesting news and notes we got to get to you, Vinny, because I know you've been getting a lot of questions about how your NBA markets are moving. Kevin Durant, now the rumors at least starting to circulate that Boston could be in the mix for trading for Durant. And we've seen, I would imagine, some odds move potentially accordingly.
The Celtics are down to 6-1. We took some money the other day on the Celtics to win the title. And, you know, depending on where you're at, they were not really a long shot anyway. I mean, given their success this past season, particularly in the second half of the season. But right now, holding up on the conferences, keeping the futures up for the title because of Durant. By the way, how about the NBA borrowing, you're taking a page from the NFL, staying relevant here even through the summer and while camps break. But that's because of Kevin Durant. And the reason you have to be cautious, you can't have prices too high, although you can on most teams because – You handicap, do some handicapping from our side of the counter to where he's not going to go. And the reason it's so important is because he's going to be a major impact. Wherever he goes, in all likelihood, that team is going to become one of the favorites if they're not already a favorite, right? Especially if they keep their core intact. So it's a situation where he's going to have that kind of impact. I mean, we saw money a few weeks ago on the Suns, right, because there was a rumor that he was going to go. So then it was Miami. So anytime there's a new favorite, if you will, or a new team that's getting the buzz about Kevin Durant, well, automatically those teams get played. So those are the three teams so far that have gotten played in the Kevin Durant, the potential Kevin Durant sweepstakes.
Have you seen money start to come back on Brooklyn a little bit? Because they drifted out far when it was like just assumed, okay, both Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to be gone. Now there's a possibility one, if not both, stay.
You know, yes and no. I mean, Wes, they got as high as 50. They're about 20, 25. Again, it depends on where you're at and what type of exposure there's already there. But I just think that you have a situation, too, on the Nets. My personal opinion is, do they really want to be there? I mean, let's look at what happened with the Nets this past season. The organization seems to be in a state of, you know, just disharmony, you know. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, I personally don't think that they're there, but they're not. You know, they may be on paper listed, you know, on the roster, but it's almost as though they don't want to be there. I think they've made that pretty clear by their actions and their words.
Just amazing how, as you mentioned, July 28th, between NBA Summer League, draft, this, it's still a talking point and very big in the betting industry right now. Yeah. It's just the reality. But the secondary reality, Vinny, is a week from today, Hall of Fame game. So all of a sudden, preseason games kick off. We're now into training camp for all 32 NFL teams. And as you were talking about, now it is for the NFL. The numbers are up much longer. You can bet on these things from pretty close to after the season has ended and post-NFL draft. as we're getting towards now the calendar turning to August, when is that big rush start to happen for you? Or is it more of a trickling, gradual kind of effect there where the bettors are coming in?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it all spring, right? Again, because I go back to my point in the previous segment where you've got these up now for 3 to 4 months. You know, week one in particular, you've got futures. Last week we put up yes, no to make the playoffs in the NFL. The thing is, it really picked up a notch once the NBA finals were done. And again, we've got, you know, you saw the airport numbers, right? Harry Reid Airport here in Las Vegas set an all-time record for the month of June and July months. So with that visitation, and of course that's the people coming through the airport, and everybody driving here, anybody that's here will come through the book and they'll look at something, whether it's a future, whether it's a prop or week one. And they'll make a play. So you're seeing it kick up a lot. Of course, the Hall of Fame game, which involves the Raiders, so you're going to get a locals take on that and a local participation on the Raiders against Jacksonville in the Hall of Fame game. So that day, you'll see that'll be probably that'll be the highest handle for that day, even with all the baseball. That'll be the game that gets the most betting attention, even though it's a preseason.
Even with
game.
Starters taking like six snaps, it's amazing.
If that, right?
Yeah. If it's on the board, people are starved for football, they're going to bet it. And that leads to my next question. I want to go to college here for just a second. I want to get to the games of the year momentarily. I know you guys put those up in very early June, but it's just amazing to me, Vinny, as somebody that's been betting for a fair amount of time. You usually wouldn't have week one out this early. Now you got the full card out. It would come out maybe 2 or 3 weeks before start of the month. This has been up for several weeks now. Mm-hmm. Is it just that the customer demand is for it, or is it kind of a combination of, okay, we as bookmakers are going to put these out there a little bit early, drive some traffic, drive some business during a slow time, and also get an indicator of where our numbers are. You know, when you get the Paul Stones of the world that will come in that follow this 24/7, 365 college football, and then just kind of beat your numbers into place.
Yeah, no, all of the above, Wes. I mean, you hit on the key points. And again, when you Paul Stone's a good example. In his opinion, warrants respect. You want to get that intel. You want to know what it is, because here's the thing. And I've oftentimes talked about this. You know, there's always, when you go to a hospital, there's always a general, surgeon. There's somebody who's the head of the hospital, right? But you've also got specialists, right? You as bettors can afford to be specialists. So you don't have to bet everything. So you can zero in on one thing. Oh, by the way, within that one thing, perhaps, and if it's college football, maybe there's a conference or two that you really want to zero in on. You know, in our case, you know, we've got we want to put all this up, but to get all of those points on board that you're talking about, early intel, get some handle, where are our numbers, and of course they're going to move a lot quicker and things like that, but you're going up so early and you're really, you know, getting a handle on your power ratings. The other part of it that comes into play now that's really unlike, you know, you talk about changes, you've got three dynamics now in play that were not in play just a few years ago, right? You've got NIL, you've got the transfer portal, right? And how about all this realignment? And even though it may not, it's happened already, it's going to happen in the future. How is that impacting, some of the mindsets of these teams? So next year, it's really going to be interesting when the shift really continues and you look at how these conferences are going to break out. So that's in the back of your mind for next year. But by the way, speaking of conferences, and this week, I think tomorrow, I'm going to be with Chris Andrews today, and we're going to put up regular season wins for college, but conference regular season wins. So, something we started here at South Point a couple of years ago, something. So you get a little bit of a different handicap.
In terms of the games of the year, what teams have really been hit so far this summer?
Yeah, good. I'll give you one. USC. We were trying to figure out, with all the changes at SC, obviously Lincoln Riley and the skill position players that transferred there, what was the reaction going to be? Were they going to be faded or were they going to be supported? And we really wanted to get a handle on that. And when we got a pretty good handle right away. Here's a game of the year that's really had some of the most movement. And again, these are not half-point increments, obviously. Mm-hmm. November 19th, UCLA, a 5-point favorite on the opener against SC. SC is a 3-point favorite now. So there's and if you look at the games of the year, SC has gotten quite a bit of support. Alabama has gotten support. Virginia Tech has been bet against. Last year we had that with Auburn in the games of the year, but this year it's been Virginia Tech so far. So these are also very respected opinions. And you know, Paul was here. You mentioned Paul earlier. He participated, and several other people. Great conversations, and enjoyed seeing those guys. And but that's a team that's really gotten a lot of support in the games of the year this year.
That'll be fascinating between them, Utah in the Pac-12.
Because some of us think Utah is the better team in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Raise his hand.
Wes Reynolds raised his hand. Hey, look, and now you have to do the transfer portal rank. Like, those recruiting rankings now are, like, I was doing some of my prep for the SEC, and it's like, oh, Arkansas, they got the 11th best transfer portal recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. They have to do separate recruiting rankings
which
now.
This recruiting class, this transfer class, coaching changes, all kinds of stuff.
But you roll with the punches. You've been doing it for decades.
You adjust. You have to adjust or you'll be left out.
Benny, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations, belatedly. Great to have you back in Vegas.
Thanks for having me, guys. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Benny Maliulo. Follow him at VSIN Vinny. We have some, speaking of college football, some win totals to throw at Wes Reynolds in hour number two here on the Lombardi Line.